Thank you for tuning in to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're back in the studio with Grant and Jessica, Miss Tara, myself, Sandy. We're continuing on in James 3, 13 through 18, and talked about wisdom, heavenly and godly. And last time we were into the Word with scriptures, and we're going to continue on examining the wisdom in God's Word.
I love His Word. We were comparing some... Well, we weren't comparing. We were actually looking, examining at scriptures from Psalms and Proverbs and how scripture tells us in other places what we should do. And so we looked at the brevity of life and how a truly wise person will look at life as brief and we shouldn't be wasting our time, and that a true heart of wisdom will honor the moment. And then we also are looking at Proverbs 9. And how that is in the fear of the Lord that wisdom begins, and that through knowledge we get that understanding and applying the wise. The wisdom is, it's a reward we get from following and knowing God. And so that's pretty beautiful. So Sandy, if you would start us off, go ahead and read Ecclesiastes. Oh, wait, I want us to read the passage. I haven't done that. We need to do James first so that people know where we're at in James. I'm like... jumping ahead. So genuine wisdom, according to James in chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, is if you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It's also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds, and it shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. So let's look at what the harvest of righteousness looks like from the scriptures and other places on wisdom. So let's do Ecclesiastes 1, 17 through 18.
Okay. Then I applied myself to the understanding of wisdom and also of madness and folly. But I learned that this too is chasing after the wind. For with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief.
Okay, so I ended in saying the reaping of the harvest of righteousness, because that's how he ends this section. Now think of that, reaping the harvest of righteousness. And he said in Ecclesiastes, I applied myself to understanding wisdom. And we've discussed the fact that wisdom is knowledge applied. So determining in his heart, and what he found is that wiser he became, the more grieved he became. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is?
Because foolishness exists in the world. And you can see the wise thing for someone to do, and you can talk to them and try to convince them, and yet when they're convinced in their own mind that they know what to do, they'll do the foolish thing anyway, and ultimately you have to just sit back and watch as they destroy their life, and it's so painful to allow free will to happen. I can't imagine how God does that, you know, how he sits up there watching all of us make foolish decisions day in and day out, knowing the wise decisions for us to make, and yet his love in allowing us to choose is such incredible love.
I think a lot of times, you know, people don't want to know, because ignorance is bliss. You can go do whatever you want, you know, don't have to think about the wisdom that God can give you for it.
But eventually those consequences are going to catch up. They're just not going to connect that it was their actions
that caused it. They're not connecting.
And so then they blame the world, they blame God, they blame bad luck or karma or whatever. And it's like, no, really, this was just you making foolish decisions and not living life the way that God laid it out to be best lived.
And the older you get, too, you realize that, you know, there will be a time when you will die. Because everybody dies, right? But we know where we're going. And I think that sadness comes by watching somebody that's not saved, and it hurts to know how in the world can we approach this person. I know God's the only one that can put the Holy Spirit in their heart, but wow, you've got to have that wisdom of what to say to them at that time that you see them sinking.
I love this. There's so much that is like my mind is just reeling with different thoughts on this. The applying ourselves to the wisdom and how to help someone apply themselves to wisdom. What I have found in the last, in just month, what I have found is that when I am faithful in giving scripture, and I am faithful in giving the word, and even in the moments when I have felt I have failed the most, God has brought forth different circumstances, like in the last month, where different people have come to me. And I'm talking like a year or so ago, where I just never, like, it was brief.
Yeah.
Brief in the time that I was able to give wise counsel.
Well, they said God's word does not return void.
Coming back and asking, can you show me? Mm. And though, even though I felt and knew grief in the moment and felt the pain of what I saw and saw the rejection towards the word of God, the wise counsel of his wisdom, and felt in the moment, I felt as much a failure as I could possibly feel. And knowing that I did what I could in giving the word, but saw no willingness or heart towards it, right, all of a sudden, God has brought forth, and they're like, okay, for whatever reason, I can't get you out of my mind. Can you, like, and then all of a sudden, I'm throwing, and then they're just grabbing hold and wanting. And so one of the things that I think that helps me is the remembering that as I am applying myself to wisdom, to remember and go back to what we talked about in the last show, and that God is good, and God is good at what he does, and his word is good, and his word will not return void. And allowing the truth of the word to be what makes that transformation happen. Mm-hmm. And remembering it's not me. God help me. Because I think a lot of times my grief, and I don't know that if this is what Solomon is saying, but for me, often the grief is because I'm wanting it now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My sorrow, and I think that's why it's in Ecclesiastes. You know, it's like, I have my expectations of how it should be, my expectations of how they should respond, my expectations of the timing. Mm-hmm. But what I have found is that God, sometimes it's because he's marinating his goodness, and it takes time for that person to get to the point where they can take hold, mm-hmm, and grab on. And so not allowing myself in the sorrow or the grief to allow myself to swallow that, without recognizing that scripture has in another place the verse that says, let my gladness be in proportion to my sorrow. Mm-hmm. So that as I have had grief, that I recognize that God will allow gladness. And that as I love and I seek to love well and seek to love in his unfailing love and seek and beg for unfailing love to be evident, I can trust that he will bring that increase, that if I feel the depth of despair because I have loved and it didn't come back, that he will bring that love because his love is what? Unfailing. Mm-hmm. And so trusting that. And so I have been actually washed in some amazing things in the last month where he's shown me, yeah, there may be grief, but watch. Mm-hmm. In time, it comes back because it's his word. And you can't deny his word. So in Jeremiah 9, 23 through 24, the Bible says, this is what the Lord says. Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. But let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, righteousness on earth. For these I delight, declares the Lord. And so allowing our willingness to be that it's a boast of what God has done and what God's goodness is, and recognizing wisdom is recognizing, you know what, it's not because I have said something. It was because of the word of God. And mm-hmm, trusting the word of God, trusting God in his goodness to be good at what he does, mm-hmm, and allowing that to be where the evidence is seen and held on to. Beautiful.
I love those verses because it talks about don't boast in your wisdom and your knowledge and your power, whatever, because those are all going to be incomplete. You know, compared to God, we aren't wise. We have no strength, you know, comparatively. But we can boast in our knowledge of God, not that that's complete, but that it's growing and that it's coming to fruition, that, you know, eventually we will know God. And, you know, he is the source of our wisdom and our strength and, you know, and all of that. So as we're boasting in him, we're really able to boast in some of those smaller things. It just has our focus direct, like, accurately directed.
Mm-hmm. On him. Mm-hmm. It's so good. And so this ties in, and it's the Sermon on the Mount, and how in the Sermon on the Mount, when Matthew was writing what Jesus had said, he shares, well, let's just take the Beatitudes. Would one of you, Grant, go ahead and turn to chapter 5 and read for us the verses. I think it's going to be like 3 through 11, but let me make sure, because I should know that.
In Matthew?
Matthew 5, and then it's going to be, yeah. So read verses 3 through 10.
Okay. Yeah. The poor in spirit are blessed, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Those who mourn are blessed, for they will become comforted. The gentle are blessed, for they will inherit the earth. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness are blessed, for they will be filled. The merciful are blessed, for they will be shown mercy. The pure in heart are blessed, for they will see God. The peacemakers are blessed, for they will be called sons of God. Those who are persecuted for righteousness are blessed, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs.
So good. It's so good. Go ahead and just do verses 11 and 12, because it's a good reminder.
You are blessed when they insult and persecute you and falsely say every kind of evil against you because of me. Be glad and rejoice, because your reward is great in heaven. For that is how they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
Mm. So good. All right, so here we have many of the words that we talked about in the first week, when we did in the second week, when we created the list of all of the things that are God's wisdom. So we had in the list of wisdom in James, purity, peace, consideration of others, submission, mercy, sincerity, impartiality, and goodness. So do you see how the Beatitudes, he's definitely doing a mirror. Okay, and as we're considering that, I'm like, oh my goodness, how the fruit of wisdom, there's fruit to it, and this fruit comes from the purity. And I love that at the beginning, you'll catch, do you notice, what's the sandwich of the two things that are in the Beatitudes? Of it's blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the poor in spirit, theirs is what?
The kingdom of heaven.
And blessed are the persecuted, theirs is?
The kingdom of heaven.
Do you see how God has sandwiched it in what?
In the kingdom. Mm.
The kingdom of heaven. So all that we have been talking about, and how it is the kingdom of heaven, it's getting our focus there. That even in the Beatitudes, when Jesus was giving that, he wanted them to see that that's where our mind needs to be. So if I'm thinking on being poor in spirit, which is being humble, if I'm meek, if I am merciful, if I'm pure in my heart, if I'm hungering for righteousness, if I am seeking these things, it's the kingdom of heaven that is the eyesight, the focus, and the promise, the fulfillment. And that keeps the vision in the right place. And so that's what James, and so as James is speaking these to this audience, the people that are dispersed, the theologians say that he would have been pointing in such a way that they would have understood that this is supporting the Sermon on the Mount. Mm-hmm. That it would have been an automatic assumption on their part that this was supporting what Jesus had taught that day on the Sermon on the Mount. And I thought, oh, that's amazing. So it came down to, and I want you all to catch this, because this is the part that I was like, oh my goodness, this so ministers to me, because something that God, I pray for and I ask, I don't know that I always do it well, but I ask for it. And I ask that God make me a person of reason, so that when I am confronted with confusion, evil, disorder, bitterness, jealousy, ambition, that I become the person of reason. I have the question, how can wisdom be reasonable? How can it be open to reason? How can, and some translations have the impartiality, depending on which translation you have. How is wisdom able to do that? And do you guys have something or not?
Well, yeah, I was just thinking that wisdom is trying to take your own bias out of things. You know, that reasonableness involves logic, but yeah, it also involves that understanding of people and their needs, and so, yeah, wisdom very much relates to reason.
That's good. The Greek, it comes from, and I cannot pronounce this correctly, but it's eupithes. It's eupeithes, and this literally means easily persuaded. So when we are reasonable, when we are impartial, we are a person that is willing to be persuaded. Now, this is not talking towards evil. This is not talking about towards evil desires or anything that goes against, contrary to God's will. But it is that this person, when you sit with them, they are reasonable when you talk with them. And I'm like, God, that's so important. And it's interesting because selfish ambition, it comes from a root word that's similar. It's eritheia, which is E-R-I-T-H-E-I-A. And that one is towards the evil desires, towards that which is not. And so thinking through and like, okay, so as I'm in a circumstance and I can feel the heat rising or the angst or my hair standing up, my thoughts going in the wrong place, the selfish ambition, the jealousy, all the strife that can happen that's false, I have to go back and I'm asking myself, okay, God, how am I being reasonable? Am I being persuaded towards evil or am I being persuaded towards that which is the kingdom of God? And allowing myself to ask that question. And so I guess if we could end on that thought, what would that look like in wisdom applied? How are you going to walk that right now, whatever it is, and asking yourself, am I being reasonable, reasonable towards the kingdom of God with the mindset of the kingdom of God, allowing the fruit that we've looked at of purity and peace and consideration, submission and mercy and sincerity, goodness, how am I allowing my reasonableness be in such a way that it's evident that I'm pointing towards the kingdom, not towards man, not towards persuasion, not towards opinion, not towards judgment or my thoughts, but literally towards God? Isn't that good?
That's very good.
We're so glad you've been listening to Cultivating Hearts. We're glad that you are here. If you'd like to contact us, you can contact us through tararye.com. or cultivatinghearts.org or opendoormission.org. God bless.